You know, we'll praise him forever. What comes to my mind is in Revelation, when all the saints throw their crowns down at the feet of Christ and they worship him. So we are going to be praising him for the rest of our lives. For eternity, we're going to be praising him. If you don't think we're praising him, like, just think about it. We're going to be in the very presence of God forever. And we'll be praising and worshiping him unhindered. This is just mind-boggling. Like, if we don't like praising him now, I don't think you're going to enjoy heaven. Because we'll be praising him. I think of how he desires us to pray. Like Val prayed. Some days we don't like to praise because we're going through difficulty. But we also have to remember what Scripture says too. We're supposed to praise him in all things, in all circumstances. We're supposed to praise him no matter how we may feel, because we're not supposed to go by our feelings. And we're emotional people. Right? Some of us are more emotional than others. But God created us that way. And sometimes it's hard to go by your feelings. No, it's not hard not to go by. Sometimes it's not hard to go by your feelings. It should be corrected. Yes. Instead of going by what the Word of God says. I think that's the thing. And I know we've been learning. I've been handing out about forgiveness. How to deal with forgiveness. How to deal with unforgiveness in our own lives. And that's an ongoing process. Because we do get hurt by others. And are we forgiving others? You know, it's amazing. We won't want to forgive others because we think we have the right to not to forgive them. But then Christ says, you know, if you don't forgive others, he will not forgive you. That's a pretty bold thing. Like Christ, Jesus is saying, if you don't forgive others, how can God freely forgive you? So does that say to us that we need to hold short accounts to forgive people? And forgiving and trust is two different things. Trust is earned.
That's right.
Right? And so then they have to earn your trust again. But forgiveness is an act of obedience to what the Word of God says. Even at times, it's hard to forgive somebody. And so that's why we ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me to forgive somebody. And whoever they did to us, Lord, I forgive them. Help me to forgive them. Help me, Lord, to pray for them. Help me, Lord, to pray a blessing over them. And we talked about, even through Scripture, we talked about how there's inner healing. Jesus brings inner healing into our lives as we trust him and apply his word to our life. So just even December, it's throughout the whole year that we're praising him for what he's doing. And you think about inner wounds, destructive family patterns, and how they affect our lives. I know I handed out a sheet 2 weeks ago about destructive family patterns. I know sometimes it's hard to work through those things because it's a busy time of year. But you know the great thing about these tools that I've been giving, hand out to you guys for the last month, you can actually reflect back to them a year from now, 2 months from now, 6 months now, a year, 2 years from now, and they're still going to be applicable, and they're going to help you to grow. Maybe this is not the season that you're ready for this. God has to prepare your heart. I'm sometimes, with being black and white, I plow through it. So when the Lord's like puts a thing on a theme on my heart, I just put the plow into the dirt, and I work that field. And God has to water it. We put the seed in, sharing God's word. His word's the seed, and he's the one who grows it. But is our hearts ready to be taught? Are we ready to be applying what we're being taught? Or we just put up a shield and say, no, this is not for me. I'm not going to apply it. Ultimately, we have a choice. Do I want to apply God's word to my life? Do I want to believe God's word in my life? Do I want to be set free? Because only God's word sets me free from bondages. It's an amazing thing about choice. We have a choice to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. I have a choice to worship him. I get to believe, is his word true? And his word is true. Do I really want to apply it? So scripture clearly teaches us that we are to be intentional about growing, participate in growing godly character. It's very clear in the Bible. It says we are supposed to apply the word. We're supposed to take hold of the word. The Holy Spirit reveals things in our lives that need to be dealt with. And we can quench the Holy Spirit by not obeying the Holy Spirit. So we are to participate in growing godly character to experience the sanctification that God does in our lives. I think of we have discovered in previous handouts that when any of us have wounds in our souls, some of us have demonic influences in our lives that are passed down, or perhaps that we are allowed the door open by watching certain movies, participating in certain rituals, maybe from our father or from ourselves. Perhaps poor modeling from our parents. Or culture influences can hinder our growing in godly character. So we have to ask, Lord, what is it? What is hindering my walk with you? Is it generational? Is it, Lord, is it something that I'm doing that is causing my children to not to follow you or to have a love for you? We shouldn't be surprised to discover that we can do likewise pass on behavior traits, to good or bad, to our children. There is good traits that we pass on to our children. But sometimes we pass some not so good traits. So in this, as we read, keep in mind we're not judging family members who have participated or committed any of these sins previously. We're not judging them. This is about healing the family tree so that you personally and your descendants later on will not follow the same patterns. So we really want to take and cut that root off so it doesn't affect the rest of the generations. And God is revealing to us things that maybe been passed down that need to be dealt with. Does that make sense? So this is all it is. He's given us tools to enable us, and because he reveals, the Holy Spirit is the one who searches our hearts. He searches us totally. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he brings to memory things that need to be dealt with. Maybe you have thoughts. These thoughts have been lingering for so long. And he's like, deal with those thoughts. And deal with this iniquity. Deal with this. That's part of sanctification. So I'm going to pray before we start, and because I'm going to hand out a few things. We're going to do some practical things. I love doing practical things. Because if we don't, how do we learn? I learn by actually doing it. I could watch somebody do it all day, but if I don't put my hand to it, I'm not going to really take hold of it. I don't know. I mean, so Father, we're going to pray. So Father, I ask the Holy Spirit to lead and jog our memories for information that we may have forgotten. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just reign. And Lord, that we would allow you to search our hearts. That you would take down any barriers in our lives that we have erected to feel like we are protecting ourselves. Lord, we also, in Jesus' name, we bind and muzzle any spirit other than the Holy Spirit that has influence in our lives, other than you, Holy Spirit. That no other spirit may manifest during this session, during this time here, that you would go when you were told. Thank you, Lord, that we could take authority over any demonic spirit. Mm-hmm. And we thank you, Lord, that we could stand in your authority. So, Lord, we stand in your authority. We muzzle any spirit that's not of you. We tell it be quiet, cannot manifest, it cannot operate during this time. We apply the blood of Christ over our minds. We stand in the authority of Jesus Christ. So, Holy Spirit, just guide and lead. Reveal anything that is in our subconscious that we do not realize is there, that you bring to the forefront. If it's a picture, if it's a word, Father, that we would write it down. Lord, that you desire us to be set free. Lord, we thank you that you're the one that does the work. It's not the pastor. It's not whoever. It's you, Holy Spirit, that does the work. You're the one that does the revealing. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to be doing, and we thank you in Jesus' name. So Luke 4, who wants to read Luke 4, 16 to 20? So Luke 4, 16 to 20. 16 to 20. Okay, sounded pretty clear. Okay, go ahead. All right.
And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it had been written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to proclaim good news for the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him.
Mm-hmm. So where did Jesus come? Set the captives free. Were you once a captive? And sometimes we could be still captive because allowing things into our lives. Right? We are allowing things into our mind. He has given us the helmet of salvation. He gives the helmet. You know, we're supposed to, 2 Corinthians 10, I think, talks about we're supposed to take captive every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We're supposed to take, that's something we do. I'm supposed to take captive of that thought and make it obedient to the word of God. I could play with that, but that'll lead me down to this rabbit trail of despair and eventually into bondage, but I need to take captive that thought. So he's come to set us free. He came to give us liberty. Just think when you actually get free from something, is there joy? You want to tell people. You want to share it. So Jesus came to share the good news. Likewise, we are to share the good news. how Jesus set us free, how he broke bondage and chains off our own lives as we share the truth of the gospel. Think of the time this season we could share the gospel. I know Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. Jesus was not born in December, more than the fall. You know that Jesus, nowhere in the Bible talks of the day that he was born? So we're supposed to celebrate his day every day. We're supposed to celebrate his life every day. Not just in a season, it's every day we celebrate the life of Christ. How he's the one is our very essence that we live, how we live, right? So what's Galatians 5:1? Galatians 5:1.
What was it?
5:1? Okay, what's Galatians 5:1?
For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery.
Amen. So he set us free. And so that we don't, right? He sets, when you get set free from something, we're not supposed to go back to that what he set us free from. Or else you'd be yoked to it. It's even worse. It's even worse. When he sets you free from whatever it may be, and you go back to the same thing, that's even worse. You shouldn't even been asking to be set free from that thing in the first place. Because the demonic influences are now almost doubled. Even it's worse. So when we're asking to be set free from something, say, Lord, this is my heart. I really want to be set free from this. I do not longer want to live this way. I do not want to live in such a way that Satan has influence in my life. Or this destructive family pattern doesn't have this influence in my life any longer. He came to set you free. He came so we have life in abundance, have life with overflowing joy. Man, I feel lighter when I praise him, even when I have the most terrible day. I start praying and asking, Lord, help me. And he helps me. The next thing, all those troubles and worries that I'm facing don't even matter. Because my eyes are fixed on him. So what's Psalm 18:5? Yeah, Psalm 18:5. Who's going to find it? Malcolm? Okay. Oh. 18:5. That's 18:5?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did I give you the right scripture? Well, mine says, out of my distress I called upon the Lord.
Well, that's in verse 6.
No.
That's verse 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord.
Well, mine says, out of my Bible says 18. Oh, Psalm 118? Oh, Psalm 118:5. I'm like, oh my goodness, did I go down the wrong rabbit trail? 118:5. Psalm 118:5. My apologies. Okay. 118:5.
Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free.
My apologies. Psalm 118:5. I called upon the Lord and the Lord set me free. He's the very source, right? So, I will try and get this set straight. So I printed out some generational healing inventory cards. And so in this, it's two. Sure, you can. So in the inventory, and I'm going to do this very simple like today. Because we've been learning because what do we do once we uncover destructive family patterns, right? What do we do when we discover function or destructive family patterns? And so we're not going through the whole sheet. But if you read through there, and I do have prayers I even printed out, even on the different sheets I have given you, there's a prayer. And you can work with your spouse or somebody that you trust in this, and we go through it. Sometimes we have things in our lives, you know, you could make a circle, could be like a generational thing. A check mark could be something that you are dealing with. So sometimes you might have something that, I don't have a sheet now. So on the back says, like destructive patterns, abuse, right? How was that passed down, or is that something that you're doing? Anger, is there a thing, is there anger in your family that's been passed down, or is it just you? So if it's anger that's been passed down, you circle it. If it's something in your life that you're doing, it could be both. You could circle it and check it, right? You know, there's so many things. Like materialism, laziness, judgmental, negativity, people-pleasing. I used to be people-pleasing. That's the hardest one, I think, for a lot of people, is one please people. Because we all like to be liked. You know, sarcasm. You know, sarcasm is not a godly thing. It's a way we sometimes try and protect ourselves so we don't allow people to get close to us. So it's like a barrier. It's like a force field, if you want to call it, like, I don't know, Star Trek? Suicidal thoughts. Right? Is that something that's been passed down from generation, or is it something that is part of you do as well? Death wish. You know what a death wish is? I wish I was never born. That's a word curse.
Could that also be someone else speaking that over you?
Well, it's something that you ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, has there any curses been put upon me?
Right. Okay.
Right? And so like a death wish. So, you know, if your parents have said, you know, or a parent have said this, or a grandparent, whoever, may have said that, and now it's been passed on. It could be. You know, sometimes things skip a generation, right? Sometimes generational curses aren't necessary to the very next, but it can be skipped over one. You know, you look at, you know, my family, when I had hair, I had like almost black hair, right? And then for my grandpa, my side, my kids have red hair and blonde. It skipped a generation, if you want to look at it that way. So things could skip a generation that you may not even know, right? And so sometimes we ask our parents or grandparents, if they're still alive, is it has been anything that they have dealt with, right? But if you're a very first generation believer, then all these stuff could, you know, nobody broke those things off. They could be hindering your life even now so that you have a hard time growing and it's really receiving from the Lord. And so sometimes these things, because in Leviticus 26, 40 to 42, 45 says, but if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers in their treachery and that they committed against me, and also in walking contrary to me, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob. So we confess, if God, the Holy Spirit reveals things, if it's generational, we're gonna do a prayer. Lord, I forgive my grandparents. I forgive whoever. And we just ask in Jesus' name that you break this off. Right? So the Word of God, it says that we're supposed to be doing this. We don't know what our grandparents did, but the Holy Spirit knows all things. He's the one that reveals. So, because it goes on and says, because if we do that, God says, I'm going to remember my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, and I remember the land. I will, for their sake, remember the covenant with their forefathers, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. So we remember. We repent of the sinful behavior on their part. As sometimes you think of, it's not because we committed the sin, but Lord, I repent of my father or my grandfather, whoever, my mother, whoever it is that has done this. So that would be cut off. And we, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then repent of the sinful behavior on our part. So if we have grudges, that's another one. It's a destructive family pattern, grudges. Gossip and slander. Lying, quarreling, stealing, swearing, vandalism, violence, murder. You know, murder in the scriptures, it talks about if I hate so and so, I have committed murder in my heart. Not physically killed them, but the word of God says if I'm bitter, angry towards them, I have committed murder. If I have thought sexually about a woman, though I have not slept with her physically, I still committed adultery. And so we look at the things, it's the motive of the heart God sees now. It's not action, it's the motive. And he wants us to deal with the motive. So iniquity, like, are we dealing with iniquity in our lives? Are we dealing with the things that we're supposed to be dealing with? It's part of sanctification, of growing, to being set free, to allow these bondages to be broke off, these chains be broken off, so we could actually worship our living, risen Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus going to the cross and dying in our place, paying the penalty of sin, and then raising again on the third day, we would not be able to do this. So we could praise Jesus for being able to set us truly free. That's a glorious thing. It's amazing. I think, this should be the good message right now for Christmas time. It's a great message at Christmas time. Because Christ came to set people free. He came to be our Lord and Savior. He's the one that came that truly want us to really fall in love with him. And so, as we go through this, right, you could take time and just say, you know what, I'm dealing with, this is, am I a people pleaser? Do I procrastinate? Right? That's just the one habit, you know. You don't, these other ones, man, that's like a whole week sermon. Just a couple days of dealing with all that. And the beautiful thing is, on the other handouts I gave, have the prayers. And we can sit down and go through these. You guys can. I don't have to be there. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead this session. Holy Spirit, we're taking authority over any demonic spirits. We're taking authority and nothing can rise up. Only you, Holy Spirit, can have the full authority to reveal. It's amazing. As a child of God, God gives you the ability to do this. This is why I want to teach the church to do this. My job is to present this. And so that equipping the children of God, so that you guys go out and share the gospel of walking in freedom, how to be set free. Praying for people, looking for deliverance, revealing Christ to them. This is what the church does. We're being equipped. but it's also up to you to apply it. Are we willing to apply it? And that's the only thing you have to answer. Lord, maybe I don't feel like it right now. We need to be honest. Because the Holy Spirit already knows your heart. No sense lying to the Holy Spirit, because he knows what you're thinking. He knows where you're at. Lord, help me to have a willingness, a desire to be really set free. Lord, help me to have a willingness not to be in this destructive family pattern anymore. That's being open and honest. And he'll put that desire in you. It could be a week from now, 2 weeks from now. I can remember when I started first doing this, I was like, I want to go deeper, but something is hindering my walk. Until I started going through this, really started giving me more liberty, and that my walk with the Lord would grow. So, is this making sense? Okay. I think of, how many of us have made vows that I'm never going to do this or put a curse against ourselves? On the very first page, if you look at it says patterns of sin and bondages and curses. Right? It's on the front page on the right side. And so patterns of sin and bondages and curses. So when we do these things, we put ourselves into bondages. In a bondage, we're supposed to be a bondservant of Christ. The scriptures say that. We're his servants. But sometimes we put ourselves into bondages and curses by having lustful actions and thoughts. Right? Lustful actions and thoughts. And so we could put ourselves in a bondage and a curse that way. Pornography, homosexuality, sexual novels, TV shows, movies depicting ungodly lifestyles. Right? You think of, and we're like, well, this movie's like this, we like it. You know, but even myself, I like violent movies at times because I don't like romantic movies. Because I know with myself, right, because my mind goes. I don't like romantic movies because then it's something for myself, but, you know, rape, vulgar, aversion, fantasizing, fornicating, so adultery, incest, molestation, masturbation, bestiality, exhibitism, by taking pictures of yourselves and send it to somebody. Sexual abuse, sexual addictions, being permissive, you know, that's something. In word curses, you know, we can say that I am not good. That I'm not this, or I'm not that. We put a word curse upon ourselves. So I just want to go over this. And so it's a very, you know, you could check it off, that, or one of those. Check it off. If it applies to yourself, then put a check mark. If it's a generational thing, you put a circle. So how do you discover generational sins that are affecting you? First, you go carefully through the generational healing card. This card, or a piece of paper. And then you just check off what it applies to you, circle what is that is generational. So we could pray this. If I don't know, you want to take a second, maybe check off something. but generational bondages and sins. Typically, this is, we confess it. In James, it talks to confess to one another that you may be healed. And so we confess it and bring it out in the open. Once things are brought up in the open, does Satan lose his power? Or his ability to antagonize you, to make you feel less of a person? That's what I'm saying. You go to somebody, if it's your wife, or if somebody that you trust, that will not share anything, because then it brings in accountability. And also brings out in the open that Satan can no longer say, oh, you're hiding this or you're hiding that. It's out in the open. Say, I've been dealing with this. My friend or this person knows this. So loses his power over you or try to manipulate you to make you feel less of a person or feel less of a child of God. And that's part of bondage. Satan wants you in bondage. He doesn't want you to be set free. He wants to make you feel like you're nothing. He wants to make you feel like, oh, you can't be set free from that. Look at you. Satan wants you where you're at if you're there. He wants you to stay there. Do we desire to be there still? Hopefully not. This is real Christianity. This is real growing in Christianity. I could give a most warm, fuzzy sermon. So I could make you feel so good about yourself and do this. I could be this kind of preacher and not deal with any sin nature. That's not Christianity. That's making you more in depth into bondage. Truly, you're not being set free, but you're being more bound by Satan. And so, as we want to grow in this, to be set free, so that I'll use this example. So the person's going to be praying. So we could say this out loud together. And I'll stop. And then you can say it to yourself. Of whatever maybe sexual, bondage or curses that you put upon yourself, right? So if it is a bondage of, fantasizing, or it could be if certain novels or certain things, TV shows. That's an entrance for demonic influence into your life. So the person prays. So you could pray, Father, forgiving those. Like, so if it's a generational thing, if God's revealing to you that it's a person, your grandfather, or somebody, your parent. So Lord, I confess. And I ask whether you forgive whoever it is that he has on your heart. Whose sins have affected me. It's very simple. You know, I think about how many think reading horoscopes is very innocent, right? Or in playing Ouija board, or playing with tarot cards, or going to this place. You know, if somebody has done that, now that it affects you. You might not think it does, but it still gives Satan legal access into your life. He's a legalist. Do you know that? He's a legalist. You have an opening that gives him legal access to influence your life in a negative way. So right now, we're taking what we know and saying, we break this off in Jesus' name. I forgive my grandparents or whoever it may be of that particular bondage, and we forgive them. We're cutting this off now in Jesus' name. Lord, I confess their participation in these sins. And I ask that you forgive my forefathers for doing this. Jesus, I also repent of my participation in these sins, if you're doing that. And I ask you to forgive me for this. Jesus, thank you that you have given me authority to break all bondages and sins and curses for being in the right standing of Christ. He's given you authority to do that when we are walking in right authority with Christ. In Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord, to break every sin, bondage, and curse. And you name that sin and curse. You have to proclaim it. You have to say it. There's power in words. That is in my family line and my mother's and father's side to the fourth generation. That may has been passed down into my children or to my life. And I ask in Jesus' name that you purge my family line of that sin. So whatever sin he's revealing to you, he can even do this right now. Saying, I confess of this. I forgive them for this. And in Jesus' name, I invite the Holy Spirit to infill and control the cleansed area of the family line. So now you're asking, so whatever had, we'll use rooms. So you're cleansing up that room. Something has to go in that room once you get it cleansed.
That's right.
If nothing goes into that room, guess what? Satan will try and get back and fill that room even doubly. So we ask in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, you would fill that room of my life. That you be rooted and established in that room of my life, that area of my life, where that one thing was, that you would fill that area of my life. So Satan can't come back and fill that area. Now you got the Holy Spirit filling that area. And then, so the person that you're with during this one says, so he says, ask Jesus to respond to the person with a word, a thought, a Bible verse. Right? We ask him, Lord, what did the Lord speak to you about? And you write it down. And he could give you a scripture. He could say a word. And the Lord, I thank you for that word or that picture. Thank you, Father, for how faithful you are, that you assure us that we are cleansed from that bondage or that generational thing. So generational, Saturn's our patterns of sin, bondages, and curses. And so I think even when we have said these things about ourselves, renouncing vows and curses, so let's say if you thought, oh, I'm better off dead. I wish I was never born. Or I want to commit suicide. So the person confesses any vows or curses that he has made. you know, this is an example. You're more than welcome to join in on saying this. Heavenly Father, I confess the sinful vow or the curse, whatever vow or curse you have spoken. So, Lord, Holy Father, I confess the sinful vow and curse that I've spoken against myself. And when I said the name of the whatever vow or curse I have said, I repent of it and ask for your forgiveness. And then we renounce the vows and curses. In Jesus' name, I reject and renounce the vow. So whatever vow or curse we have said against ourselves, I have made when I said the name of this vow or curse. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to break this vow and render it its power null and invalid. So breaking off all this, what this power of this curse has over my life right now, Lord, I repent of it. And I ask, Lord, that you would break it off of my life, that it would have no effect on my life, nor my children's lives. And as somebody who works with you, I can say, Lord, for the congregation, Your God, your word promises that when you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So in Jesus' name, the word of God declares that you are forgiven. And Jesus, how do you want to respond to the congregation I pray, Lord, that you reveal through a word or through a thought or maybe a picture or a Bible verse. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to speak that truth that you revealed and that you would fill that room where that vow or curse has been replaced by your Holy Spirit. That room would be filled with the word or the picture, that you take throne, you would be on throne in that room, in our life, in that area of our life. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us. And Lord Jesus, thank you. You're the one that sets us free, that you're the one who is doing the work. Right? And it's amazing. We go through every habitual sins or destructive patterns. Anger. Do I deal with anger every day? Ungodly anger. Sometimes there's a difference between godly anger and ungodly anger. Do I deal with anger that's ungodly? Is there covetousness in my life? Lord, I repent of covetousness. I repent of allowing covetousness to rule and reign in my life. Forgive me, Lord, for not being satisfied what you have given me or you have entrusted with me. Lord, I in Jesus' name, I renounce and reject covetousness in my life. And Lord, that I ask that you break it and render it powerless and void in my life. Covetousness would not rule and reign in my life. As we go through this, right, we don't, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about today, or maybe tomorrow, that's what you deal with. You don't have to do the whole thing. But it's what the Holy Spirit is revealing that he wants to deal with today. It's very, very simplistic, very simple. but very, very powerful. Right? Very powerful. Very, I would encourage us, even myself, you know, to do this. Take the time. Take the time. Right now, I know we're busy. I could be busy the rest of my life. My wife knows that. But I need to take time. Because what's more important? What's more important for my children or for my life? That they will not be having this sort of stuff be affecting their life. To break off these generational curses. Even if it's my choice of doing destructive things, I need to repent of that and ask God to break that off. Because my kids, your kids, our kids, will see or do what we actually do, not what we say. So there's no substitute for growing relationship with Jesus. There's no substitute for growing with Jesus. There's no substitute. It's a personal walk. Personally growing with him. Personally laying your heart bare. So this is not a formula. You know, we like formulas. We like, we got to do this and this and that to get that. But be led of the Spirit. Take time to listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. Ask the Holy Spirit to really have you have this desire to want to be changed. Is there a willingness there in your own life and in my life? Is there a willingness to be changed? Can't blame somebody else. We're not here to, this is not about blaming people. People make mistakes. Our generations before made mistakes. But we forgive them for making that mistake. So that power doesn't have control over our lives. It's not passing the buck. It's dealing with it. You know, listen to the Holy Spirit for his guidance and direction when receiving ministry. That's why I said, don't minister to that person. Let the Holy Spirit minister to that person. And so it's imperative that we get rid of all the junk in our house, our homes. If there's demonic things in our homes that need to be thrown out, music, videos, art, pictures, whatever it is, if there's demonic things in our house that the Lord speaks to you about, get rid of it. Because that gives Satan legal access into your home. Don't say it's sentimental, because being sentimental, then Satan's like, thank you for being sentimental, because now you're allowing me to be in your house all the time. We need to get rid of things as the Holy Spirit reveals to you. So get rid of the junk. Run from the temptation. Amos 5:14 says, do what is good. Amos 5:14 says, do what is good and run from evil so that you may live. Then the Lord God of heaven's armies will be your helper, just as you have claimed. We're supposed to run away from things that bring destruction in our lives, not to run to them. So it's important that we surround ourselves with other believers, that we remain committed to a local body of believers for accountability, for help, encouragement, for strength. So using the spiritual tools should not be a replacement, right? We still, I'm not disowning doctors. We still need doctors, right? But be wise of who doctor you go to. I have a godly physician, my medical doctor. We're supposed to use spiritual tools, but we also, God has given us doctors, other people that are trained in that position. Make sure you choose the right one or ask. But anyways. So there's this is the good news of the gospel. Do you know that? This is the good news of the gospel. Jesus came to set you free. You don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live in despair. You don't have to live how we were before we came to Christ. We don't have to live there. We don't have to have family destructive habits ruling our lives. We don't have to allow anything other than Christ to rule our life. You know, that's amazing. Like, I always think, everybody's like, well, I want to become like a Christian. I don't want to become a Christian because then my life's going to be boring. Oh, I can't do all these good things. I remember all those things brought more destruction, more despair. As a believer, I've been set free from more and more stuff. And now why would I want to go back to the old? This is the abundant life that we live. Do you know we're living an abundant life? More and more every day as the Lord sanctifies us. We're living more and more abundantly. We become more prosperous because our soul is prospering. Our lives are prospering because our walk with the Lord is prospering. That's what's supposed to prosper, our walk with the Lord. Amen? So, yeah. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you, Lord, that you're the one that does the work in our lives. And Lord, I thank you that where there's areas of struggle, where there's areas of shame, if there's destructive family patterns, or if there's anything, Lord, that you're speaking to us about, or things that we may have to be purged out of our homes, Lord, that we would purge them and be obedient to you. Lord, let us be doers of your word. Not just hearers of your word, but doers of your word, applying what we've been taught. Lord, thank you that you came to set us free. Lord, thank you that you give us abundant life. You give us a great hope, great joy. Thank you that we get celebrate for the work that you're doing in our lives. Lord, let us be praising you for doing the great things in our lives, that we don't have to be feeling despaired.